of the Lord, and as myself and Okela and Poloho being ordained as a family, we had such a great time. We felt the love of each and every person in this room. Every person just declared the word of God of our lives, and everybody was really just supportive and prayed for us and laid hands on us, and we really appreciate it. So on behalf of the family, I just really want to thank you all. You've made it so welcoming to be part of this church, and we just trust the Lord that He will strengthen us through it all. Amen. So today it's so interesting that how we actually have been led by the Holy Spirit. And I just stood here and I was such in awe of what God does when we actually surrender to Him. When we don't have our plans, but we surrender to the Lord, He moves miraculously. Today I am led to share God's heart about the power of humility and faith in Christ. The power of humility and faith in Christ. There is such a symbiotic relationship between faith in Christ and humility in the Word of God. Throughout the Bible, we see these two playing such an interesting aspect in all and every man of God that the Lord has shared with us. Where you see the impossible become possible, you usually see the powerful relationship between faith in Christ and humility in the Word of God. I've personally experienced it in my life, the impossible of mountains being shifted because there was just a great sense of faith in Christ and humility in the Word of God. We see it with Moses as well in the Word of God. We see how he was just led himself as the Lord had placed him to go do his work. We see that after 40 years, where he has actually gotten to a pinnacle, and he says, "That's it. That's it, I've had enough." And don't we find ourselves as well at that point in our lives? And it's only at that point where the Lord really started working in his life. So all of these years, the Lord would ask, was God working in his life? No, he was, but it comes to a point when we start to surrender and we start allowing the Lord to move in us. But first things first, let us get to understand what this is all about. I just want to break it down, what faith is. We all know what faith is, but I really want to just give us a view of what faith is in the natural and what faith is in Christ. And I want us to also look into what humility is and what humility is in the Word of God. These are all different. So let's look at the Oxford Dictionary describing what faith is. It says it is complete trust, confidence in someone or something, trust in somebody's ability or knowledge, trust that somebody, something will do what it said it would do. Don't we all go through this as well? I remember as well in my personal life, in work, I remember a time where I had a relationship with a lady in the finance department, and we knew it was month end, and we knew that we had people to pay. and we just like, "Father, I don't know what's happening, but this payment has to come." But it was so interesting in that moment, I had trust in a person and not in God at that moment. I trusted a person's ability, I trusted the person's knowledge, I trusted the person's position, I trusted where they are. And I gave this lady a call and I said, "Hey, when is payment? Do you think payment has been made?" And he said, no, don't worry. It's been processed. We've put it into finance. It's been processed. By Friday, you will receive the payment." And Friday came. Oh, wait. Oh, my. Friday came and there was no payment. The check is in the post. And there was no payment. Oh man, it was just horrific. I trusted in someone's word and not in God. And there was consequences to this because it started erupting anger in me. I was angry, I was frustrated, I was bitter, you know. I had doubt. All of a sudden, doubt sinked in. I started asking God questions. God, did you really call me to do this? Should I go look for employment? What's this all about? And isn't it that we go through that at times? Right? When we've put trust in men and then we come back to God and say, but God, you said. But we had placed our trust somewhere else. The Bible definition of faith is Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. I have the NIV version. I don't know if Mama J, we have a different version. That's also fine. Now, faith is the substance. We know this scripture very well. I love it too. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Amen. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Wow. This is so powerful. This is much better than the Oxford Dictionary. I love this part. Now we know from reading this, there's 5 points that really come out of this. We know that faith, God says, it's substance of things hoped for. Having hope in Christ. Having hope in what the Lord said. It is evidence of things not seen. We haven't seen it, but the word says it. Amen. 3, it's elders obtaining a good report. Reminds me of Joshua and Caleb. When they went out as spies and they came back with a good report. Everything that they saw there was not good at all. But because they were so brainwashed, and not in an ugly way, but they were so much in the Word of God. What they saw there, they saw God, that God can conquer this. And they came back with a good report. The next point, which I love the most, it says, through faith, the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Nothing was ever created in this world without the Word of God. Everything underneath the sun was created by the Word of God. Everything was established by the Word of God. And the last part is, things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Everything starts off with faith. Everything starts off with faith. We also learn from Hebrews 11, 1 to 3, that without faith, we cannot build. We've seen it here, point number 4. Through faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God. So without faith, we cannot build. Without the word of God, we cannot build. We need faith in Christ to build. There we go, family. We need faith in Christ to build. We can't establish anything without faith in Christ. Now let's look at what faith in Christ is. We know from Scripture that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So great faith comes from hearing. Great faith comes from trusting in the word of God. Great faith comes from believing in the word of God. Great faith comes from surrendering. Amen. Matthew 16:19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Every blessing, the kingdom of heaven, I will give you the keys. This is what the Lord says. So that whatever you bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosen here on earth will be loosened in heaven. Family, this key is Christ himself. There's no other key. There's no other key. God says, I will give you this key. The Lord says he is the keeper of the key. And he will give you this key, Christ himself. And when he gives us this key, he gives us authority and he gives us power. Because we see here that whatever you bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. This is power. This is power. We can't do it in our flesh. The Lord says, but only in Christ. will we be able to move these great mountains. But the key for all of this to work, the key for it to work, it requires what? Faith. Faith. Faith in Christ, who is the Word of God. John 1, 1 to 4 says, we know that scripture. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is the Word of God that activates our promise through faith. These promises are activated through faith. It is the Word of God that shifts our impossibilities to what? To possibilities. Only the Word of God. We first need to completely trust in Him for faith to work for us. Amen. Family, say this with me, won't you? I just want to check if we are all awake. For faith to work. Come on, let's say it with enthusiasm. For faith to work, I need to fix my eyes on Christ. Amen. If someone had purchased you a lovely, shiny car, it would be no use if it's parked in the garage, gathering dust. You need to drive it, or else the mice will eat some parts in your car. It is true. You need to drive it. God has given us all the promises, but if we are not going to move with faith, the devil will steal them from us. We will not see these promises. Amen. So what is humility? Let's look at the Oxford Dictionary as it describes humility. Oxford Dictionary, the world, how the world really sees humility. I love some of the points that they've made here about humility. It says, humility, the quality of having a modest or a low view of one's importance. Low self-regard and sense of unworthiness. Refusal to assert authority. I love that. Refusal to assert authority. Refusal to be first in anything. I see Christ in it as well. Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, he refused as well. I remember when he was amongst the people and he said, someone touched the hem of his top, and he asked, who touched me? And I always ask myself, but Father, if you are really God, you should have known who touched you, right? Right? But he didn't move in that. He was Christ, Jesus Christ. First Jesus and Christ, second. So he was human, and he submitted himself before the Lord. He could have used all these powers, but he continuously submitted himself to the Lord. The Bible describes humility as follows. Matthew 23, verse 12. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. Two parts in this. One is those who humble themselves. Those who exalt themselves, my pardon, are not humble. So those who exalt themselves are not humble. And those who humble themselves are actually lifted. Those who exalt themselves are not humble. They place themselves above the Word of God. So they come first. They are first and God is second. They trust in self and they trust in their abilities rather than the Word of God. That's what the Word of God is saying here. Those who have exalted themselves. And those who humble themselves, they reduce themselves before the Word of God. The Word of God is supreme in their lives. The Word of God comes first before anything. They do as the Word of God says. That's what the Word of God says humility is. When we reduce ourselves and we exalt the Word more than anything in our lives, it comes first. We don't come second. We just follow. There's no second. It comes first, and it is what it is. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen. So what does faith in Christ and humility have to do with the impossible becoming the possible? What does all of this have to do? Well, let's look at what Matthew 19:26 says. But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." What did Jesus Christ mean when he said, "With men, this is impossible"? What did he mean? Well, Paul describes man in the Word of God as the natural man. What does this mean? It means this is a man who has no humility. He's above the Word of God. This is a man who has no faith in Christ, has faith in the natural things. Ephesians 2:1-2 reads, "In the past, you were spiritually dead." I remember I was spiritually dead in the past. "Because of your sins and the things you did against God. Yes, in the past you lived the way the world lives, following the ruler of evil powers that are above the earth. That same spirit is now working in those who refuse to obey God." Ephesians gives us 2 points of who man is. One, man is spiritually dead. Two, man lives in the world. These are 2 points. This means that when you're spiritually dead, it means you are not born again. You are separated from God. The Holy Spirit does not dwell in you. Your mind is governed by sense knowledge. Your mind is governed by the knowledge of this world. What the world says is what it is, and you follow it. It trusts in the ways of the world and what man says. This is what man says as Paul describes him. "You live according to the ways of the Lord, and you disregard God's things." Things of the Spirit are foolish, you know. Things that have just happened here, when we just laid hands and the leg outgrew, those things are foolish. You live under the sway of the wicked. This is what he means when he says, "With man, this is impossible." Amen. With man, it becomes impossible to achieve the impossible. Your life is still yours. When you're still in man, your life is still your life. You're not given to Christ. You live in pride and you don't live in humility. The Word of God is not exalted, but you are exalted. So you always come first. The Holy Spirit is not living and alive in you. You are in the natural. The keys of God's kingdom have not been given to you. So you can't operate in that level. You do not have authority because you're not in Christ. And you cannot shift power to the impossible because you're not with Him. The second part where the Lord says, "All things are possible with God." What did Jesus Christ mean when he said this? Paul describes a spiritual man when he talks about this part. He describes a man of humility. He describes a man of faith in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Isn't that us, family? Isn't us ones where we are born again, and we are in Christ, and therefore a new creation we are? 2 Corinthians 5:17 gives us a view of a man in faith and humility. When you're a spirit man, that means Christ is living in you. You can do the impossible. You are a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. When you are in Christ, you have died from the old and you are new. We had your funeral when there was an altar call and you said you're giving your life to God. The funeral started, the old left, and you were born again and you became new. When you are in Christ, you are born again. When you are in Christ, you now have a new spirit living in you. The Spirit of God now lives in you. You are led and you are governed by the Holy Spirit. You're starting to carry God's heart. Hallelujah. I love this part. I remember when I was born again, man, and I started carrying God's heart, I would be still confused what's really happening, because the things that I deemed at the past were the things that are no longer my things. And I just asked myself, why do am I emotional? What's happening to me? And I just had empathy to a lot of things. And I knew in that moment, until I started reading the word more and more and more, that I no longer live. Christ now lives in me. Amen. You can't do anything without Christ. It's like marriage. It's like marriage. I find myself in the shops at times. There was a time I found myself in the shops. I called Okella and I said, should I buy this or buy that? And I used to ask, why am I calling Okella? Why can't I just buy this? You know? And I see the elders are laughing in the room. It's because you're married, you're not one. You can't do anything by yourself anymore. You first go to the authority and you start asking the Lord, is this what you want me to do? You walk in this reality of God's kingdom. You walk in rest. You no longer walk in labor. You now walk in rest. When you're a natural man, you walk in labor. You're working. You sweat. You know, everything is hard work. You must work hard. You know, you've heard people say, they say, not here. Here we work hard. You know, I remember Dave saying this to me, saying that we're not one of those pastors that are going to say to you, well, start from scratch. We've built this for so long. We are not going to teach you things. You need to learn. Go back. This is not the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, we walk in rest. We surrender to Him. We walk in humility and we walk in faith with Him. You know when you're in as a spiritual man that joy now belongs to you. You know that peace belongs to you. Before then, you didn't know that joy belongs to your peace. You wanted to create it. And you can't even create it as a natural man. But when you have Christ in you, now you know that joy belongs to me. Now peace belongs to me. You gain ascendancy over the world, meaning that you are starting to dictate to your flesh that no, I can't do this or I can do that. You start to walk in Christ's authority. And you know that you have overcome the wicked one. Hallelujah. So to shift the impossible to possible, you need Christ to live with you, in you. Right? We're starting to see this now. We need Christ to live in us. To shift the impossible, you need faith in Christ. But there is a condition to all of this. There is a condition, family. And in Revelation 3:16, it says, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Because you are lukewarm. What prompted John, the apostle, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, to say such a thing? I ask myself. He said this to remind us that there is no such thing as neutrality in the things of God. Being lukewarm prohibits us from experiencing Christ's power. That shifts the impossible situations to possible. We see it in James 1:6. It says, but when you ask, and the word ask is command, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. So God talks about this lukewarm here. Can we see it? You must believe and not be lukewarm. And not doubt. Because the one who doubts, the one who's lukewarm, is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. You are under the sway of the wicked one. He just pulls you as he pleases. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. The Lord here gives us a view that to expect the impossible to expect the impossible in our lives, we cannot be lukewarm in the things of God. So there we go, family. James shows us this in James 1:6. So what does God require from us in all of this? God requires us to surrender to his word as the it and as the all. God requires us to be humble in his word, that we reduce ourselves in every situation that we face ourselves in, that we be reduced, that his word be exalted. And that requires something from us. It requires us to be out of the situation. It requires us to die. And it requires us to really trust in the word that what it says it will do, it will do. God requires us to be decisive and intentional in his word. We need to make a decision. We need to be decisive and not lukewarm in these things. When we are trusting for miracles, that impossible mountain that you are facing, you need to be decisive and intentional in it. That the word of God says, and therefore that's it. Whatever report is given by the doctors, whatever man has said when you were young, whether it was your father, your mother, or whoever at work that spoke a word to you, we're no longer natural man, we are spiritual man. We are filled with the Spirit of Christ, and his word is his word, and his word stands. We need to be bold, and we need to trust in his word. God requires us to be bold. You know, in the things of the impossible, God requires us to be bold. God wants to see cancer healed. I sometimes think he gets bored by other small things. He really wants to shift things that the world says is impossible. He is that God. If he's the God that today the ocean still has waves, if he's the God where the sun still rises in the morning, he is that God that really wants to show us the impossible. He is the God of the supernatural, not the natural. He loves it. He's a show-off. I love to say God is a show-off. He really is. He wants to show us who he is. But we have to be bold, and we have to be like Caleb and Joshua. And that even when we see situations out there that are challenging, we need to stand upon the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So we thank the Lord for the word today. And we trust that God will shift your impossible situation. Whatever it is, whatever mountain you face, he is God. And he wants to show you that he can shift that mountain. If you're facing a mountain today, if there's anyone in this room who is facing a mountain, you know, you might have lost faith, you've tried so much, and you feel like this is impossible. God wants to remind you today that he can do it. But it requires two things: humility and faith in Christ. Not you. Humility and faith in Christ. Amen. Can I pray for you? So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word that you have released